I officially got to have real Illinois corn. It was a game changer. Welcome back, Cornfield Chronicles, Episode 7. Trigger warning, this is Caffeinated Christianity. Came home the other day. There was this random bag on my door handle, and I'm like, man, what is that? What's that on my door? And I walk up, I grab the bag, I look inside the bag, and it's 4 ears of corn. Probably the moment I've been waiting for since I got to Illinois was, when am I going to get some real Illinois corn? Now see, before I got here, right towards the middle end of the month of May, they were getting a ton of rain, so the crop got put in late. So the corn is just now doing what they call tasseling. It's getting these little tassel things on the top, which means it's getting pretty close to being able to be harvested. But the crop was behind, so I was afraid I wasn't going to get any corn. But joke's on me. I got some corn this week. Anyways, I digress. Welcome to the next episode of Caffeinated Christianity, where the coffee is black and the opinions are unqualified. I've been drinking Dunkin' Donuts coffee for the last couple days. That's what I picked up at Walmart because they actually don't sell the brand I drink here in Illinois, or at least not at the Walmart I shop at. I usually drink Chock Full of Nuts, but I've been drinking Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Been a game changer. I miss Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's really good. My name's Cooper Short. I'm the host of the Caffeinated Christianity Podcast. Welcome to the next episode of the Caffeinated Christianity Cornfield Chronicles. And what is that, Cooper? Well, I'll tell you in just a second. First, our verse of the episode, Luke 6:35. Oh, this one's a banger. I've been trying to memorize it, but I'm still kind of on the downhill slide with that one. Jesus says, "But love your enemies, do what is good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is gracious to the ungrateful and the evil." That really convicted me. I did my personal study in Luke back in the winter / early spring. And that verse really convicted me because I'm a man and I'm prideful and I don't really want to do things for other people. Often I always have a lot to do. I'm always really busy. I always have a lot on my plate. And it's not always one of my favorite things to do to stop what I'm doing and help other people. But last time I checked, Jesus doesn't care. He wants me to help people just as He helped me by dying for me on the cross. Let's jump into this. Cooper, what in the world are the Cornfield Chronicles? Well, if you're completely brand new to this entire thing, my name's Cooper Short. I'm from Kings Mountain, North Carolina. I got called to ministry when I was 15. And this summer, God called me to serve as an interim pastor in the state of Illinois, in Forsyth, Illinois, at Forsyth Baptist Church. That's a whole long, drawn-out story. If you want the real story, listen to episode 1 of the Cornfield Chronicles. But basically, I'm spending 2 months of my summer serving as an interim pastor at the church in Illinois. Now, rather than allowing this experience to tailor everything I would podcast on for 2 months, I just decided to make a podcast series on what's actually been going on. So I just recapped the last week, and I give some takeaways. So let's go ahead and dive into week 7. What I preach on last week. Last week, I preached on Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, I didn't know until I was about 4 or 5 hours into the study that it's actually one of the hardest passages to preach in the Bible. Hebrews has these 6 what are called warning passages. And first off, I love the book of Hebrews. I did my personal study on it back last fall. It's awesome. But Hebrews has these 6 warning passages that are kind of vague, and nobody really knows exactly who they're talking to. And the language in them is weird. And conveniently, I landed right on one of those without really knowing it. And so, it was pretty tough. It was tough to kind of explain where I was at. It was tough to really find what it was getting at. But I think I hit a nail on the head. I don't know that it was 1,000% accurate. Of course, I'll never think I'm 1,000% accurate. I'm really skeptical about my own abilities. But I thought the sermon went over really well. It ended up coming out more concise than I thought it was going to. As soon as I got really done putting all the material together, it ended up being a lot more coherent than I had anticipated it would be, you know, on Thursday when I really started working on it heavily. So, I mean, I thought it was pretty decent. I thought the sermon was pretty decent. Basically, the gist of it was, you know, if you're really a believer, you will not neglect your salvation. You will not neglect it. You will not drift. You will not backslide. Now, that's not to say that you won't sin or mess up or have a time in your life where you're maybe not as potent in the faith as you used to. But kind of what it's talking about is long term, you will never leave the faith if you're actually really a part of it. And 2 John reiterates this point very heavily too. So, I mean, I thought it went pretty well, all things considered. Let me tell you about Thursday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I work another job while I'm here in order to save money for an engagement ring. And I cut grass with a local landscape company because that's my only skill is cutting grass and weed eating. Or sorry, trimming with a weed eater. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, man, was feeling great. You know, low, mid-80s. I mean, it was hot. It was a little humid, but I wasn't really batting an eye at it. I mean, I'm from the dirty South, so, you know, I'm pretty much used to the heat. Well, Thursday, up until about 12 o'clock, man, I was still feeling good. I was cutting some grass, trimming some grass, living the dream. Take a lunch break, and then we get off our lunch break, and the heat index got over 105 degrees, almost 110. Let me tell you, that's the hottest I've ever been in my life. You know, sitting still or even riding around on the lawnmower, man, you were good. It wasn't really super hot. But the moment you started walking around, dude, it was ridiculous. I mean, profuse sweating. Absolutely unbelievable. And so, man, Thursday really, really wiped me out. I mean, I had a massive headache all day yesterday trying to recover from that dehydration station that I was on Thursday, but it ended really well because Thursday night I got to eat at a place called Crekles. There's about four or five of them in the Decatur Forsyth area. They're a local burger joint, and they serve burgers, shakes. Got to eat there. I've been wanting to eat there since I got here. It was solid. I went with a man and woman from church named John and Cindy Chamberlain. They took me out to eat dinner there. Man, it was good. It was really good. So if you've ever seen me in person, you know I'm always down to eat a burger because I look like I've had way too many. What else did I do this week? Well, believe it or not, I actually bought another Bible. I know what you're thinking, Cooper, slow down on the Bibles. I think I've got like 21 now. But I couldn't resist, man. I went to Hobby Lobby. It's across the road to get some paper clips. And Hobby Lobby's got these little kiosks where they sell a few Bibles, a few Christian books, things like that. Man, the Bible was on sale. I couldn't resist. I'm a sucker for a good deal. It is the Jesus Bible. And what it is it's basically all of the footnotes and commentary and side articles in the Bible are all showing you how what you're reading is pointing to Jesus. And that's something I've been really fascinated with the last 6 or 7 months is basically how the Old Testament is really a huge story about Christ. And when you read the Old Testament like that's what it is, that sentence was weird. When you read the Old Testament like it's a story about Jesus, it makes it far more interesting. It makes it far more digestive. And honestly, I've just been really enjoying that. I've been really enjoying that whole concept. And so naturally, when I saw the Jesus Bible, and it was hardback, and it was on sale, and I had money in my pocket, and, you know, it's just a random weekday, of course, you know, I had to cop, which means buy, the new Jesus Bible. So my collection is growing. I'm gonna end up traveling home with about twice as many books as I came here with because I've gotten a few commentaries from people that they've had that were just, you know, kind of laying around. I've picked up a few Bibles. I've picked up a few chapter books. I picked up the whole Chronicles of Narnia series, which I started reading a couple weeks ago, which I'm not a big fiction reader, but there's a lot of Christian symbolism in the Chronicles of Narnia books, so I really wanted to read all that. So, yeah, I bought another Bible, believe it or not, you know, whatever. Now, let me give you two more things that happened this week. One's good and one's bad. Let me start with the bad thing so we can end on a positive note. This is not really bad. It's more sad. I've really started to resign myself to the fact that I am actually leaving in about a week and a half. And that's truthfully a little disappointing. Don't get me wrong. I completely miss my family. I haven't seen my dad physically, you know, in weeks. I miss my dad really bad. I'd love to just hug him. You know, I was thinking about that the other day, how I'm going to hug him for like 3 minutes when I get back. And I do miss home. I've missed my church this summer. you know, I've missed my friends this summer. You know, I was just texting a friend of mine earlier that I always play disc golf with. His name's Andrew Baber. I was texting Baber early, man. I miss Baber. I miss my friends, man. I miss being at home. I miss Kings Mountain. You know, I really do miss all those people. But I've had such an incredible spiritual God experience here, man. It's like, it's going to be hard to admit that I have to move on, you know. And when things like this happen, I'm only 20 and a half, so I've never had a lifelong experience yet. I've never had a, you know, my own personal family, you know, that like wife and kids. I don't have a career yet. And so everything I've done up until this point in my life that's meaningful has been temporary. So I'm used to this feeling because I'm a very deeply emotional person. I'm very sentimental. I hold on to things for a long time. But man, you know, just, I was actually riding on the lawnmower, believe it or not, cutting grass at this house way out in the country. I mean, I just started to cry riding the lawnmower. You know, it's just, man, it's going to be painful to leave because there's something very, very special and unique about doing exactly what God's called you to do, man. I don't want to go back to sitting around not getting to preach, not getting to work on sermons, not getting to work at a church, not getting to see church people all the time. I'm gonna really miss that. I'm not gonna miss 110 degree heat index, and I do want to see everybody, you know. And I am excited about my last season of college football. That's something I'm really looking forward to as well. But I've just had such a nice, relaxing. Well, I say relaxing. I've just had such a nice time doing exactly what God's called me to do in the long run. It's just been nice to be able to really use and hone my skills serving as an interim pastor. And it's going to be hard to leave. And that's kind of hit me this week. But let's move on to the positive thing, because this is something I'm hype about. So if you've listened to any of Caffeinated Christianity at all, if you know me personally, if you read any of the blogs, anything, I'm a massive Christian rap fan. Christian rap is a huge part of my life. I consider it to be a hobby. I consider myself to be an expert, humble brag. I love Christian rap music. Well, on Monday, okay, first off, there's this record company that's basically the top-notch record company in Christian rap music. They're called Reach Records. Their brand is 116. That's like Lecrae, Andy Mineo, Tadashi, Trip Lee, KB, Wande, What Up RG, Gavi, 1K Few. Am I missing somebody? I think that's it. I think that's everybody. Anyways, Reach Records is the premier record label in Christian rap music. And last summer, they randomly dropped all these singles together and called it Summer 18. It was like a list of, like, I don't know, 8 songs, I believe. And they dropped them all at the same time, called it Summer 18. Some of them were good. Some of them were kind of eh, but it was pretty solid. Well, they announced on Monday they had Summer 19 dropping this summer. And they had this little graphic up of everybody that was included on the project. Man, it was like 40 people included on this project. And they basically got a bunch of artists, a bunch of producers together. And it's not really an album, but it kind of came out as an album. It's really mostly a playlist. They put like 40 or 50 people in on this playlist and dropped about 14 songs on Friday. And man, they were all so good. They did such a great job of matching artists together, of matching artists with instrumentals. Man, it's just, it's incredible. The whole playlist was just so good. And I've been rocking with it for like pretty much since Friday, or since Thursday night. I actually stayed up till midnight because here that was 11 p.m. I've just been rocking with it since then. Man, it was so good. If you like rap music at all, I encourage you to look it up. It's called Summer 19. Man, it is so good. I'm actually going to do a podcast on it because it's just, it's so good. And as somebody who's been a very, very, well, I say very long, I'm only 20. For the last almost decade of my life, I've just been such a huge Christian rap fan, and it's something I've really poured a lot of my time and energy and support into. It makes me really excited to see these guys and these girls do stuff like this, man. It's really exciting because Christian rap is just getting better and better and better. And it's just really exciting to share with other people, man, because not only is it quality music, but it's quality music that reflects Christ. I mean, how can you ask for anything better than that? And rap music is a lot more complex and talent-oriented than people think it is. I do know there are lots of people that are mumble rappers and, you know, they just buy their instrumentals off SoundCloud and they're garbage. But I'm telling you, if you really get into it like it's a real genre, you really start to look at a lot of elements of rap music, you will see how wicked talented some of this stuff is. You know, they don't just create this stuff out of thin air. I mean, there's a lot of thought, there's a lot of collaboration, there's a lot of creativity that goes into this stuff, man. And it's really, really fascinating. And I'm just really excited. Summer 19 was great. So what are my takeaways from week 7? Well, I've already kind of touched on them a little, but here's basically my 3 takeaways from week 7. The first takeaway is that doing what God wants always works out. You know, I've been given the opportunity over the course of the last week and a half or so, I've had several people from home kind of reach out to me and basically ask how it was going. And every single time, I've really just kind of given them the answer of like, man, everything's going perfectly. I mean, nothing really could have gone better. When you're doing exactly what God's called you to do, man, He handles everything. You know, just a few elements of that. I mean, I've gotten here. I was worried about finding another job so I could save a lot of money. Not only did I find another job, I found a job that works me 40 hours a week. So I'm saving a ton of money. You know, I was worried about my family getting to come see me. They came up halfway through the trip. I was worried about, you know, this church not really maybe liking me or liking my preaching style or whatever. Everybody has been so welcoming and loving. It's been ridiculous. I was worried about maybe the church not being able to grow. I mean, the church has almost doubled in regular attendance. And that leads me to my next takeaway. Praying diligently is the key to spiritual and physical and practical and emotional and everything success. Reaching out to God and asking for His deliverance, asking for His guidance, asking for His will in your life is always 100% unequivocally the answer. What's an example of that? Well, I'll tell you what's an example of that. Something I'm really, really excited to announce is that Forsyth Baptist Church found a guy that's going to be their interim. Now, it's not 1,000% set in stone. They're going to vote on him on Sunday, but I can't really foresee a reason why this doesn't really go through. And for something that you may not realize as a listener of the podcast, they've been without a full-time pastor for almost a year now. And, you know, my coming this summer was, in a lot of ways, a huge godsend for them. Not that I'm very capable, not that I'm a good preacher, but they were having a really hard time finding somebody to preach consistently every Sunday. And because of that fact, they were not really growing like they should because they couldn't invite people because they didn't know who was going to be there that Sunday. And even though it was a hard decision and there was a lot of elements in deciding to come, I decided to come. They decided to invite me. They decided to receive me. And, you know, they actually legitimately thought it was a good move for them, which I'm blessed by. And ever since that moment, we, as a group of people, have just been praying, God, send someone, send someone, send someone, because I'm having a great time. Everything's going great. The growth is really awesome. The positivity is awesome. But I'm leaving. I'm leaving July 29th in a couple weeks. And I was afraid that I was going to get here, we were going to do some good things, and then it was going to fall off again because nobody was coming to take my place. And God, like He always does, man, answers absolute prayers. And He did. And he sent a guy. He and his wife are going to serve the church for about 6 months, and everybody seems to be cool with it. He seems to be cool with it. He feels like God's pulling him here. They feel like God's sending him here. Man, it's just, I mean, it gives me chills to even talk about it. You know, it's like, it's something that I had hoped God would do, but I'll be honest with you, full send, I did not know that He was going to do it or not. But He's done it, man. He's done it again. He's done it, and He's proved to me exactly who He is, and that just makes me really excited. Doing what God wants you to do always works out, and praying diligently always reveals that to you. That's something that's a huge takeaway of week 7. My third takeaway is that time flies. I'm the kind of person that I focus really, really, really hard on the things I care about, and then I blow through the things that I don't really care about. And that sounds kind of negative to say. What I mean is, like, you know, working my day job where I cut grass, I enjoy cutting grass. I enjoy the people I work with, but cutting grass is not an end for me. It's really a means to an end of buying an engagement ring. So, you know, I kind of shut my brain off all day and just kind of plow through, work as hard and as fast as I can, and basically just try to work and get stuff done. But then I come home and I settle down and I work on a sermon and I talk to people and I work on podcasts and I read books and, you know, I cook dinner and things like that. And The combination of those things has made time zoom by because I'm just blowing through 10, 12, 11 hours of my day, and then I'm slowing down for about six, but blowing through those parts of my day, man, has just made the summer just go by so quickly, you know. The first couple weeks I was here, it felt like I'd been here forever because I was so busy. But when I turn around and look backwards and know that this is the end of week seven, it doesn't feel like week seven at all. It feels like week three, and just kind of a weird experience. You know, I'm only 20. I can't imagine what it's like when I'm 60 and I turn around and, you know, time's flowing even faster then. But that's just something I've really noticed this week is that it feels like I've blinked. And here we are towards the basically the home stretch. I've got one more week and change to be here and do what God's calling me to do. And then I'll have to say goodbye for a time to my family here at Forsyth. But I definitely plan on coming back. Maybe it's not to serve as a pastor one day, but I definitely plan on coming back to see them, to visit. Because what an incredible place to cut your teeth. I mean, working with my pastor who was from school, the guy whose church I go to while I'm at college last semester, his name's Adam Powers, was pivotal in my call to ministry because he really kind of took me under his wing and was like, here's what being a pastor is like. But doing that plus doing this summer, man, is going to forever be a part of who I am, not only as a future pastor, but as a future believer. This is one of those experiences that is going to basically tailor the way my life moves forward now. And I can't thank the people here enough. I can't thank, you know, God enough for giving me the opportunity. I mean, I'm getting emotional sitting here talking about it, and I still got a week left. Next week's podcast is going to be an emotional wreck, I can already tell you. But man, you know, basically that's week seven. Week seven was in a lot of ways like all the other weeks, but in a lot of ways different than all the other weeks, man. It's just, you know, I can't really reiterate enough how incredible this experience has been. You know, it's taught me not only a lot of things about ministry, but it's taught me a lot of things about myself. And it's taught me a lot of things about who Christ is and who He's called me to be. Choosing to come up here was a really not shaky situation. It was a really tough decision because there was just a lot of things we didn't know, but man, I really felt God's call to be here. I really did. You know, at the end of the day, it was God's calling me to be there. And man, when you actually listen to that, holy crap, does He take care of everything? Holy crap, does everything work out? And man, what an absolutely incredible experience. What a great day to be a child of God every day that you wake up and do what He's asked you to do, man. Epic. My Jesus moment of the week. I was actually talking to my little sister. Her name's Emma, she's 15. She went to Infuge this past week, which is a big youth camp that our church always takes our youth group to. And just, I called her yesterday and talked to her for about 30 or 45 minutes. And just getting to really hear how excited she is about ministry, how excited she is about what Christ is doing, about how excited she is that she's a Christian, you know. Something that has blown my mind about Emma and even my little brother Gabe, the older he's gotten, is Emma has really taken her own Christian growth seriously by herself. Nobody really did that for her. And it's something that's been really, really cool to watch as she's gotten older. You know, she asked me yesterday, she was like, you know, she asked me, because I'm apparently the Christian expert in my house now. She's looking for a new Bible because hers is kind of getting full. She was asking me which one she should buy. And immediately in that moment, I didn't even think of telling her a Bible to buy. I was like, let me buy you one. I mean, if she's going to be excited about it, I'm going to fuel that excitement. I mean, if I got to buy her 100 Bibles, I'll do it. Just, it was really, really encouraging to listen to my little sister, who's honestly one of the most incredible people I've ever met in my life. It's super hilarious, by the way. It was really awesome talking to her about ministry, about Jesus, about the book of Genesis, about everything. Just hearing her be excited for the faith and knowing that I didn't have to do that, you know, as her older brother, as their older brother, as my older sister's younger brother. I do think about their faith a lot. I do, because I'm called to ministry, man. It's not something you're going to run away from. And so not that I'm a perfect Christian, but I have this weird and, you know, unfightable tendency to just want to just read the word. You know, it's not that I do it all the time. I don't do it consistently. I don't know that much, but growing in my faith is not an option. Like, if I don't do it, my ministry is going to be garbage. And so, you know, for them, they're not called to ministry, or at least not yet. And so, called to full-time ministry, I should say. And it's really encouraging to watch the three of them grow as believers, knowing that they're doing it by their own volition and because they love Jesus, not for any other reason. And that's just really encouraging. And talking to Emma was awesome. And so I got her a Bible. I got Gabe a new Bible. They're going to be there in the mail on Tuesday. That just makes me really excited. Your CHH song of the episode is Motions by Hulvey. That's Hulvey. Never heard of that guy in my life, but he was on the new Reach Records Summer 19 project. That song is fire. He's wicked talented. He's really good. So I encourage you to listen to that song. The outro instrumental is new now. I actually make my instrumentals for these podcasts. So if they suck, don't tell me. But I decided to change this up a little bit, make it end a little better. I felt like it was ending a little more quick than I would have liked with the old one. So I decided to switch it up. I've been dropping some blogs called The Non-Negotiables of Being a Christian. I'm up to 3 out of 5. I encourage you to read them. I don't think they're phenomenal, but I do think they're important. Something God laid on my heart, so I decided to share them with everybody. And man, my name's Cooper Short. Thank you for listening to the Caffeinated Christianity Podcast, where the coffee is black, the opinions are unqualified. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ. John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners. And remember, and don't you ever dare forget, the battle, it's already won. Outie.